Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning, and it is April 20th, 2024, and we've got some people coming online, and I don't know if they can hear me or not. I got a dead mic, it looks like. I got a dead headset. Interesting. Well, we've got Tim that's on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And, Tim, why don't you go ahead and start us off with a word of prayer this morning.
Okay. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just ask that you bless this broadcast this morning, that it would be a kingdom building chance, an opportunity for your people to renew their outlook and their attitude, Lord, and that you would just continue to build our faith and show us your presence, Lord, and that you would watch over our families and that you would guide and keep us and that you would protect us as we go about our daily duties, Lord. This is an opportunity for us to just once again come before your throne and thank you for your power, your presence. And Lord, we pray that you would remember mercy towards your people in the midst of your outpouring of wrath against your enemies. And Lord, we just pray that they would receive in full measure the judgment that they have worked so hard to bring about. Lord, we just ask that you would bless the words that come out of our mouth, that you would guide and direct us, and Lord, that you would help us to say the things that we should say, and Lord, that you would help us not to say the things we should say. Lord, help us not to bless your enemies, but Lord, instead help us to see the truth plainly, light our path, give us the opportunity to continue forward in your way. Bless us in all ways, physical, spiritual. Lord, we just ask that you would bless us financially, that you would continue to give us this opportunity, which we thank you for, Lord, to put out your truth and these ideas that you put in our mind. Amen. We thank you for it. We ask all these things. We pray you bless all the men here. Bless all your people, wherever they might be, Lord, whatever they might be doing. Put your angels about in Christ's holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. And we've got Richard on the line. Good morning, Richard. And we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
I can hardly hear you, Jason. I think you said my name. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Thanks. How about that, Paul? Is that any better for you?
Yeah, it's getting better, yeah.
It's getting better. Okay.
Much better. Yep.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and I don't know. I'll just open it up. Anybody have anything that they want to start off with this morning? Well, I know there's a lot of different things that are going on. I don't know what that sound is. Tim, are you there?
Yes.
All right, I'll turn it over to you for a minute.
Okay. We're seeing a lot of upheaval going on in this world right now. I mean, we've had people, we were talking here just the other day, and of course, the homelessness in our land is just... is continuing to rise, and it's beginning to affect, you know, when we think of homelessness, a lot of times we think of people that are, I don't know the right word. I don't, you know, and I'm not trying to really put the finger on everybody, but we think of people that are of an unfortunate circumstance or don't want to work or maybe having mental incapacity issues or just, you know, not capable of functioning at a level that allows that, but we're seeing a lot more people being oppressed with this situation that are just normal people that are trying to hold down a job, take care of their families, and it's interesting. We have we have all these illegals coming in doing the squatter thing and taking over these homes that are empty. Well, that's okay, but you know, we can't have the people who take care of them or who do anything like that and living in them. So I think that there's an element there of God's judgment on his people to wake up, you know, and to see what's going on. It's a real process change to see some of those things happen in the world that we live in, you know, and to see the, it reads like something out of a sci-fi movie. I mean, we have homeless people that are wandering around somewhat zombie-like in some places, and we have groceries at high expenses, but God makes a way for us, and if we will follow his rules and way, why, you know, we're going to overcome that issue. But it's none of it's went away. I mean, the houses are still there. The people are still there. Even the food is still there. But, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a farmer the other day, and he said he was in the grocery store, and he said, looking at some of these prices, and he said, we don't get that kind of money. He said, I mean, I barely can afford to raise anything. But he said, then I go to the store to buy something, and I can't hardly afford to buy anything to eat. And he said, you know, and it's like, yeah. And I think that's the God's people's enemies and God's enemies. They're trying to take that spoil, you know. And I don't know. We see those kind of things, and it just leaves me, it was a thought I had that, it's like when Jesus said, and I don't have the verse in front of me at the moment, but he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I mean, when you think about it, Christ was homeless too, basically. And his needs were met and things were done. And I'm not saying we're in nowhere near the straits that I think he was portraying at that situation. But I think that it's just a sign of a morally bankrupt and ungodly society when we see that. And I think that if we want to talk about God's people coming out of her, I mean, I'm seeing that more and more all the time. So that was kind of one of my thoughts for this morning. But anyways.
Well, and it's interesting. Yeah, so, and just recently I found out about a grocery store that's not too far down the road from where we live here, and I was talking with several people yesterday, talked to even a sheriff's deputy that, you know, was in this area, and they were telling me about these new speaker systems that they put up in the parking lots, and it's basically an intercom system so that they can tell people and warn people when they're getting out of their cars not to leave valuables in their vehicles, to make sure that they cover stuff up. And it's just, I hadn't been into this grocery store in quite some time. Well, you know, quite some time was the last couple of months, it seems like. I mean, it's testing. Okay, let's see here. There. It's one of those things that, time goes by really fast anymore, but it seems like yesterday that I was in there, but it was a couple of months ago that I was in there, and how bad things have gotten just in this local grocery store. And they said that the homeless population and the basically it's the homeless and the illegals that they're walking over to, like, they've got a fresh food section where they cook chicken, and they have chicken and burritos and hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. And that people are just walking over to the counter, and they're just helping themselves and eating stuff and walking on. They're going down the drink aisle, and they're opening stuff out of the cooler, and they're opening drinks, and they're just, you know, consuming stuff right in the store. And there's nothing that anybody's doing anything about it. I mean, they're robbing people's vehicles in the parking lot, and it's just, I mean, just completely out of control. And it's happened. It's happened basically. There it is. Well, it seems like overnight, but just over the last couple of months.
Yeah. Well, we had a murder here locally that affected some local people here. And it was kind of a child custody type thing. And I think that that doesn't happen here. I guess that's why it's, you know, some people, I'm sure, in bigger areas would be like, well, yeah, that's not, is that
yeah,
unusual?
And that one you're talking about, that was all over the news over here, but that's, you're not that far from us.
Right. I mean, those kind of things do not it really rocked everybody back on their heels here. I was just like, wow, really? You know, I mean, it's just one of those things that there's a lot of these kind of things going on. And I guess my call or my thought is to call people to be alert and to be, you know, Christian people especially, we have a heart for God and we have that help and not hinder. A lot of those kind of thoughts go through our mind. We attempt to be that good Samaritan, that person who tries to help. And, not saying that we shouldn't have it, but just saying you might want to curb it a little and keep your eyes open, because there are wolves out there, sheep's clothing. There are monsters out there, and they're in the sheep pen. I mean, they don't have they have no qualms about taking, killing, you know, whatever, for whatever reason it is. And of course, one of the things they want to do is blame that on some Christian cult. Well, or, you know, and my thought on that was the ability to define a cult is totally dependent upon the person telling the story. It's kind of like, you know, history's recording goes to the victor, but, you know, the same way with this, you can call anything a cult. And I'm not saying that this outfit wasn't a cult. I don't know. But the point I'm getting at is, you want to be careful when you just, you know, lump everything in together, or, oh, well, that's what it was, you know. And every one of these cults, from Jim Jones on, they love to hang the name of God on whatever they're doing, you know, to give God's people and the kingdom way a black eye. And it's not all that way. It's not all kingdom way. It's not all God's will. It's not. These are things that ought not to be, you know. So we have to judge that by the fruit. We have to look at those things. And we've talked about that a lot, but it's becoming a lot more important, I think, in these days right now, to look that stuff over, you know. So might need to close ranks a little bit, might need to be a little more careful about what goes on. And
I agree. I think people need to be a lot more careful than they were. I mean, I've noticed that just around here on, you know, everything that's going on. It's things have changed drastically fast. I mean, it's, you know, the crime rate is, you know, just absolutely through the roof. There's stuff that's gang related. There's stuff that's homeless related. There's stuff that's you know, I mean, a couple of days ago, just early, well, last week, there's a roundabout probably less than a mile from my house, a mile and a half from my house, and there's an irrigation ditch that's behind that, and you know, there was a body found over there. They had the, you know, crime lab and everything out there trying to figure out what happened. And, you know, to this day, they still haven't released what actually happened over there. But you know, I mean, you know, there's, you know, that stuff did not happen, and it was something that we didn't see it on a regular basis around here like we are on a very regular basis. I mean, every day when you pick up the newspaper, it used to be, you know, like you were reading a Denver paper or a Salt Lake paper or something like that. You'd hear about a murder, and, you know, everybody was talking about it. And then it got to the point where it was a daily occurrence, and people quit talking about it. Now it's moving out into the smaller towns, and I mean, we're seeing that up here. It's, you know, you're hearing about illegal rape and murder and child molestation and trafficking, and I mean, it's just, you know, one thing after another, and it's like, what's happened?
Well, all law's been removed, you know. I got a saying, law leaves the church, law leaves the world, and this, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and that's gone. You take the farmers around here, they know more about the government program than they do God's laws of farming and stuff like that. And, you know, there's some things that we see going on. There's some change going on. People are waking up. God's been taken off the throne, and he said, okay, this is what you get. You know, our government is orchestrated attack on its own people. I see the other day where the Speaker of the House gave billions to the Ukraine again and nothing for our own country. I mean, it's just gutting it. But judgment will start first in the House of the Lord, and I say the reason it starts there is because that's where it's wrong. And it is. We've lost our salt. People don't even know what sin is. You know, they know they're sinners and stuff like that, but they ain't got an idea what it is. It's just in an absolute state of confusion. And where the salt is shot, then everything's shot.
Amen. Well, and I think, Derek wrote in Deuteronomy 28:33, the fruit of the land and thou labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. The stranger, alien in the land, will eat up our produce. And, you know, it's obviously happening right before our eyes.
Epidemically.
Yeah, and, you know, and one of the things, I don't know who brought it up, a couple weeks ago, but I've talked to several people, you know, recently throughout this last week, and we were just talking about the churches, and it's like, you know, I mean, the churches of the land and how they, you know, and I know it's something that we talk on a pretty regular basis, but people are starting to realize it, that, you know, they've removed the law out of the churches and basically kicked it out. And if you study the Bible, it is about law, and it's about law and order, and it's about justice. It's about, you know, doing things God's way. Well, if you remove God from the churches, what do you expect?
Well, I heard a guy the other day say, "Well, that's Old Testament." Well, I said, You wouldn't build a house without a foundation. You have no New Testament without a foundation. So, and that's one of the big divisions that's been put in our minds. And, you know, but it's pretty universal. Oh, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. Well, when you say that, you are in a volatile state of mindlessness without knowing where you come from. You know, I went to a Patriot movement the other day, meeting and stuff. I'd heard about this guy about an hour and a half away, and I went to the sheriff. He's really standing up against the system, but he wasn't there. But these people were talking about contracts. It was just so stupid. And this one girl sat there. She cop pulled over someone, and she just made a couple questions, and then she says, you know, shut the F up. This, you know, but all these people went on talking and talking and talking, but she had it figured out. I mean, you know, the Bible says speak little and listen much. I mean, you know, words don't work. That's why Proverbs is so powerful, you know. And Jesus said, you know, they asked him if the king of the Jews. He says, who do you say to him? What he did, he put the burden of proof back on them. You can't win an argument with anything. You ask a question and destroy them, especially when they got to start thinking about some stuff. You know, well, why do we have lawlessness? Well, left the church, left the farm. So, I mean, you know, I look at these big, I get farm magazines and stuff, and these huge tractors are just doing thousands of acres, and they think it's so. A guy gave me a successful farmer, which I don't take, or farmed around one of the two. But anyway, we're listing all the big landowners, you know. People think big is good, but there's an undertow on this ground. Well, these farm markets that got food to sell are actually going to be in business much, much longer than this big commercial. Well, look at all the sicknesses. This land has had no rest. The land has been melted to death, and, you know, it's going to get a Sabbath. You know, it happened in the Old Testament, the original Testament. I hate that. The original Testament where the land got its Sabbath, and it's going to happen again. I think it's in the Chronicles, but the land is going to get a Sabbath, and all that we have going on here is not going to be the same. You know, like the stranger is consuming our goods. They walk up, drink out of, you know, don't pay for it or nothing. There's just zero respect. And I go to the coffee shop in the morning, and these little kids come in there, and they're training their parents, their grandparents. They just got them all trained. Just really went really handy for them. But it's sickening.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I know that.
Well,
there's the opportunity, you know, I mean, the thing is that what it reminds me of constantly is I always hark back to that, you know, what do you have to be an overcomer is something to overcome. And, you know, that Red Sea moment is getting pretty obvious to Christians with eyes to see. I mean, it's like you want to be in God's will. You better be taking your communion. You better be baptized. You better be seeking to be in God's will. You know, we're none of us perfect, no, not one, but we should sure be trying to talk to our Lord and see what he wants done, you know, and helping and praying that he steers us.
Well, and one of the things that
we have
that I've noticed,
we have our weaknesses, but we know where the truth is.
Amen. Yeah, and I think that and that's important. And we need to look at those weaknesses, and we need to continue to, you know, try to strengthen those weaknesses. You know, this week it was I've had several more people that actually that wanted prayed over for different things, and had called and asked me to come over. One guy had a broken foot that he broke, and was hurting really bad. He was in a lot of pain, and I was kind of shocked that he called for prayer, but he did, and he went back to work the next day. He said that he'd been sitting there hurting for 4 or 5 days, and he had already been through surgery and been in and out of the doctor's office, and but he was in just a horrible amount of pain. And he said that he'd been on his mind, and he knew for 4 or 5 days that he was supposed to call and get prayed over, and he didn't do it, and he kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and finally he said, you know, I'm gonna quit being stubborn, and I'm going to get prayed over. And he said that instantly, you know, his pain started to subside and go away, and he was able to get some rest after that, and was able to go back to work the next day. He had a working cast on, I think is what they call it, one of those boots, but it was something that God was working on him in his mind, and trying to get him over his stubbornness.
Yeah, that's it. Our pride is our destructive. You know, it's really destructive to us, because it blocks our mind and progress forward is what it does. So that's huge. It's just right down to baptism too. Like I said, everybody goes swim on a hot day, but that telling every the world they're a sinner, that's kind of comes hard. So God hates pride. So somewhere.
Yeah. I was thinking about that business that when you were talking about that, Jason, and Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." And God does things in a big way. I mean, I'm not sure how hard he can knock, but I'd bet he'd shake the foundations of the earth if he really wants to knock hard enough. You know, so no problem there. Open the door. I mean, we need to get this done. So, I think we're in those times. I think they've changed. I think this is like we said already, the sign of Jonah. It's a repentance time, and repentance also involves not only being sorry for the things that you've done wrong, but it's getting right and getting it right, and creating a new paradigm in the way that we operate. And we are under that responsibility. We're going to have to do that, and we're either going to do it or God's going to knock something around. I can tell you that. I mean, he continues to wake his people up and to call them to repentance and to call them to his way. So I think I like Paul says, I think we're seeing the stick a little bit. So, you know, it's we've had lots of carrots, but there's some stick too. And it seems like the stick's out. I mean, as far as when you look around our country today and see what's going on.
Well, I think the 6 mile for a while, he's getting down to the club. You know, I seen a while back the Statue of Liberty was shaking. Now that takes a little bit of energy to shake that thing.
Yeah, and that lightning strike on that, you know, I did a little research on that, and there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that that's a woman. You know, they believe it's Apollyon or Apollo or whatever you want to call it. So I thought, well, I'd look up, just go look up what Apollyon or Apollo is and look up all of the things that that he represents and he does. And when you start looking at that, it's like, wow, that stuff's all kind of happening here. So, and exactly why do you want that in your harbor? So I don't know. Just a thought, food for thought, so to speak. There's a lot of interesting stuff like that that is out there and around. You know, people are kind of oblivious to it, and they're like, why does it matter? We put out DC Street Sorcery. It ties back into that if you look into it, and I still think that that was a really awesome series when you want to look at what they were trying to do and what they are attempting to do and the way that they're trying to subvert God's ways. And it's not going to be done. It will not bear fruit. You know, so that's the way that works.
Well, you read all the stories of, like, even the people coming out of Egypt, and the countries were afraid of the Israelites because they knew what their God would do for them. And you hear we're entertaining, joining, you know, making alliances with them and everything like that, and they don't know the word. We're supposed to be separate, you know. As far as black people, I got nothing against them, but, you know, until they play that race card and stuff like that, you know, they're born that way. There ain't nothing they can do about it. And we have to treat them with respect, but they got to keep our laws. But we don't even have laws no more. You talk about the church not having laws. The country don't have no laws now. The policemen can't even begin to keep up with what's going on or even know.
No, that's exactly right. And the people that are breaking the laws are the ones that are not, they're not enforcing the law on. If there is a law. I was talking with a guy 2 or 3 days ago, and he was a greeter at he finally quit his job, but he was one of those greeters at Walmart, and he was telling me how he was told that he couldn't his part of his job was to ask for receipts when people left the store, but he wasn't supposed to ask people of color, he wasn't supposed to ask people that looked like they were homeless. And I said, so you were basically, you were targeting, white men. And he's like, exactly. That's who I was told that, that those are the people that I had to ask for the receipts. And he said, there was people that were walking through there and, they would walk out the door with, big screen televisions. And, I mean, what he was telling me was just unbelievable. I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe that. It's like, how do you steal? I've kept wondering, how do you steal a big screen TV out of a Walmart? And they pick it up and walk out the door with it. I mean, you'd think that, okay, that might be a little hard task to accomplish, but it's not apparently. And, they said that they're allowed to follow them to their car and take down their license plate number and turn it in. That's the only thing that they're allowed to do. And I mean, we've got these farm and ranch sporting goods stores that are locally owned, and there's several of them around here. And it's Jack's. Tim, I know you've been there with me when you've been out here.
Oh yeah.
And I was talking with a guy, it was a while back, but he's one of the managers there at one of the stores, and he was telling me that Cheyenne, Wyoming is their number one store that they're getting stolen from, and he was going into the numbers on how much stuff was stolen on an annual basis. And it was, I mean, it was just, I mean, it was mind-blowing. It was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he was telling me about generators that were being stolen and DeWalt tools that were being stolen and Milwaukee tools that were being stolen. And, you know, just, I mean, stuff every single day, stuff was being stolen. And it was just, I mean, it was remarkable on this. And like you said, it's like, you know, there's just, it's lawlessness. There's no law.
Well, and I think we're also approaching a point, and I don't even know really quite how to phrase this, but when it becomes oppressive to a certain point, well, my father-in-law used to have a saying that, you know, eventually they'll make criminals out of all of us, you know, with their rules. And I think we're approaching that point where there is nothing as far as, you know, governmental law goes or, you know, administrative law. And it's not God's law I'm talking about, but they, you know, and you can't really do anything anymore without. I used to say, well, name one thing you can do without a license. And that was been 20 years ago. There was nothing then that you could do without a license. It hasn't gotten any better, you know. I mean, you can't even die without one, because unless you get your death certificate signed, well, you've got problems. You know, it's like when we look at all these sort of things and see these things going on all around us, that's what the end product of what they do is make criminals out of everyone, because that gives them that power over people that they want, you know, that Satan, the hater of all good, wants. I mean, he wants to destroy God's handiwork, and that's one of his techniques. I mean, his playbook really hasn't changed, you know. I mean, it's been the same all along. So I think that when we see that way, it should kind of make a stop and think a little bit about the fact that not everyone who is listed as a criminal is a criminal. I mean, we know that too, you know, because they haven't violated God's law. They just violated some. I mean, we've got one guy here that's, for example, is a farmer, and I've mentioned him before now. He was irrigating his property, and they came in and, you know, shut him down and everything, and his crop was going to die, and he went out there and turned it on and turned the water back on. And of course, wow, that was a real no-no. You know, how dare you? And he said, it's my property. It's my well, you know. And so he's been to court now. It's been a couple of years, and he's won every court case he's gone to, all the way up. And here in about a week, he's going to the Supreme Court, state of Nebraska Supreme Court. They're taking him there. So, because they can't win, and they know that it's going to break their power. And, you know, we see these kind of things go on all the time, and it's like, yeah, more control, more satanic mastery. And what a mess.
Yeah, I would say. Well, and that's one of the things that I've noticed is that they continue to tie these things up in court for such a long period of time, because they know that they're losing their power. But at the same time, like you said, they can't lose, because then it'd become contagious.
Exactly.
Well, and the other thing, and I don't know if anybody's seen any of this stuff, but you know, they talk about this avian flu with the chickens and this and that. But I just saw a thing that they were talking about vaccinating all these chickens against avian flu, N1H1. The amount of stuff that was in these new chicken vaccines is rather disturbing, and that's something that I just read about it, so I don't know a lot about it, but it's something that it's like, man, I was thinking about it, and it's like, if they start pumping all these chickens through with all these vaccines and all these chicken farms, I mean, you know, that's something that's going to be into the food cycle relatively quickly. How long is the chicken before you butcher it? Is that 9 months?
It doesn't even have to be that long, depending on the breed. But, you know, yeah, it doesn't take very long. You can go 3-4 months on the right breed.
Okay, probably on the right breed, and if they were in a chicken house or you know, if they're laying hens, you know, how long is that going to take before these new vaccines are into those eggs, and sitting on a grocery store shelf?
Well, yeah, and if they, I mean, I've heard that there's been a lot of work at some level there to try to make sure that these layer hens that people are putting into their home places, that they're not going to be able to, they're going to be inert, you know, so that you can't hatch your own chicks, or so that you can't, kind of like the Monsanto corn and stuff like that, you know, you're going to end up with sterile chicken. And so it's like, wow. It's not funny. It really makes me angry that they mess around with God's stuff like that. And if it makes me feel like that, I can't imagine what it does to him. So.
Yeah, and I mean they're checking these the deer around here right now. They're checking them for N1H1, and constantly darting them and pulling blood samples from them. They're talking about all the different just. All the kinds of different livestock about how they, they're testing them for these new diseases because of the cross contamination that could be receiving from humans, and it's definitely interesting. I hate to see it when they start messing with the food supplies. I mean, that's something that, they just can't leave it alone, and I think that is one of the things that it boils down to. They're stealers, killers, and destroyers, and that's what they're trying to do is destroy our food sources, where you can't, have a chicken population that, you hatch chicks and raise a new batch of chickens every year. I mean, it was, back in the day growing up on the farm, you had chickens and they were running around and springtime came and you'd let some of those chickens set their eggs and you wouldn't gather them up and eat them all, and you'd let them have them, and pretty soon you got one day they hatch and you've got new chicks that are running around. Wow, with what you're talking about, Tim, that's definitely interesting.
Well, it's that, like you said, satanic white majesty. He thinks that he's just got to do this whole destruction of everything that is. People are like, well, I just don't see what the point is. I don't understand it. It's like, he is the hater of all good. And good, and God is good. So if God is good, he's the hater of God, all God. So whatever God made, he hates, and he's just gonna destroy it, break it up, mess it up, whatever he can do. And he's got plenty of minions out there, both witting and unwitting, that just can't wait to help, So it's, and I think we see a lot of these things go on with it's a heart condition, and they got to get there, and God says he straightens the hearts of men out, so I guess that's in the works.
Yeah, Derek said it's 6 weeks to raise a meat bird, and wow, you think about that. You think about them vaccinating all these chickens, and then them being on the market, and 6 weeks later, some of that stuff it doesn't take very. Some of that stuff affects people relatively quickly. A lot of that stuff is what they're finding out is down the road is, it's causing cancer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like these, they put DNA, they're doing this CRISPR genetic modification, and then when these companies fail that are doing that, where they put the livestock that they manipulated into the marketplace and sell them off, and they go to where, so they've got, it's all about making people unclean before their God one way or the other. I mean, we're not supposed to, we're not supposed to eat anything that died of itself, but they're given things in vaccines that definitely meet that requirement and feed it to people, you know. And it's like, I think that a lot of that, well, it's no wonder that they stand back and do that. And it's no wonder that God said, you know, no poison, and no deadly thing and all that, because I have no idea how much of that stuff is around us all the time. You know, you definitely want to pray over your food, because you just, unless you actually had it from start to finish, and sometimes I'm not even sure about that. Like, we're talking about this here. Well, we raised these chicks, but yeah, what do they do to them? You know, so, I mean, yeah. So they definitely are on the Frankenfood move.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This is beyond greed, because what's going on here now is that they're drunk on the blood of the saints. They just want to see every white man dead is what they want. And we're the people that are at fault. The men have not been men. They've been all after their idolatrous pursuits, whatever they are. You know, I told you about the church they came out of. There wasn't one in there to give a damn about their kids enough to change their own life. And that's a sick situation. It didn't just happen. You know, on the other note, there's something I never knew before. Remember the lady that touched Jesus' garment and was healed?
Yes.
Do you know what it said just before that?
No.
She had that issue for 12 years, and she spent all of her money on physicians, and they didn't help her. And then she touched him and got healed. It reminds me of that story that was told a little earlier about this guy who finally comes to his senses, you know. And we have that ability. You know, that king had all benefits that, you know, God protected him on wars and everything like that. And then he turned to the doctors and he died. And that's quite a story, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it really is. Well, and you think about how much money. I mean, that's the thing, is these doctors have become, in so many ways, you know, like a god. And you know, people actually hold them, you know. It's remarkable how many people go to their doctors and they say, okay, my doctor said this and they said that, and I'm going in for surgery on Thursday, and they're going to amputate my leg, so would you please pray for me? And we are so lacking in faith nowadays, because I mean that should be our first stop when we've got something going on, is going to him in prayer, or asking for prayer, or saying, you know, would you pray for me for this condition that I'm going through? And you know, instead of, I mean, our God is a jealous God, and sometimes I don't think he likes it when we go to this physician, that physician, this physician, and then when nothing works, then we decide, okay, all right, well, I've tried everything else, you know, now I'm going to go to our Heavenly Father with, you know, and ask for prayer and ask to be healed. You know, it says he is a jealous God. And, you know, people go to their doctor and, you know, I remember my father was a naturopathic doctor, and he, you know, he always was telling me about how these people would go to their doctor and they would, you know, be stage 4 cancer, and you know, they would ask the doctor, okay, how long do I have to live? And you know, the doctor would tell them, you know, you got 6 weeks or 8 weeks or, you know, whatever it was, and how they would die at that point in time. And you know, he always was telling people that you know, you're better off just not listening to your doctor and not doing anything that they tell you to do, because you've got a better chance of survival if you would do nothing than following what that doctor said. And I mean, over the years, I've seen that time and time and time again. I mean, it's, you know, it's rather remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, my father-in-law had a massive stroke, you know, it was really, I mean, and the doctor, well, I don't know if it's seizure or what it was. I mean, you know, looking back, I could see this, that if he didn't know that, he shouldn't be a doctor. Anyway, they gave him 2 years to live, and I said to him, I said, don't you believe me, that son of a bitch. I said, he has no right to say that to you. And he didn't. He lived 20-some years. But that's, you're right. If you decide you're going to die in 6 months, you probably will.
Yeah, and that's what and that's what he told me. He said people would instantly start shutting down, and their bodies would start getting ready to die.
Well, you know, that's why you got to be careful what you say, because there's so much in words, and some of these things, when I particularly me, when I was younger, you say stuff that just shouldn't be said, so loosely and stuff like that, because even Jesus says we can raise people from the dead, and we haven't done that yet, so we've got a long ways to go. And it's a matter of just shedding our beliefs and taking them in as a word.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's examples in the Bible of God repenting of someone's death day and saying extending it or of doing those sort of things. So wouldn't you rather be in his hands than in some doctor's hands? I mean, I see the other thing, and it's such a racket, a lot of that healing things. But I'm reminded throughout the Bible, there's example after example after example of the fact that, and you think it, and yet some of us still do it. I'm guilty. I mean, it's like, well, why didn't they ask God before they did that? I mean, why didn't they say, hey, Lord, what about this? Should we do this or not do this? They didn't. They just went ahead and did it. They got in trouble because of it. They didn't get in trouble because it wasn't really because they did the thing. They got in trouble because they didn't ask God about doing the thing, And it's the same way with healing and with pretty much everything in life. Why don't you talk to Jesus about it, and make it right? I mean, he's got your back. He's got your best interests in mind. He's got under you, over you, behind you, in front of you. That's what he says. So, it's just like, that's our job, is to have a little talk with Jesus, and find out what he thinks about it. So, I think we fall down on that routinely.
Well, and that's one of the things that I've been convicted on, too, is just, to pray for people more. And, we see these things going on and we talk about stuff and, you talk about, this person is going through a rough time or that person is going through a rough time. And, the person that called me and wanted me to come over and pray over their foot, it was something that, I was convicted before that point in time to go ahead and pray for them. And, the way things work is, you pray for that person, without telling them, without telling anybody about it, and just, doing your part. And, who knows, that could have been the catalyst that, stimulated them to call for prayer. But I know for me, it's been, one of the things that God's working on in my life is reminding me to keep people lifted up in prayer. And, I think it's very important. I'd like to say that I do it every morning, but I'd be a liar if I said that. But I try to, when I wake up in the morning is pray over my wife and my children. And, I got a list of people that I pray for, and I, try to pray over those things, every single morning. And sometimes it's not, it's not first thing in the morning. Sometimes it's, you're driving down the road trying to get to work or later on in the day, but it's constantly, trying to remember to do that, and we are instructed to pray without ceasing. And, I think that that's one of those things, is I think you can work your whole life on, trying to do it. And I don't know anybody that's ever accomplished that.
Yes.
Well, it's getting ingrained in your mind. Recently I loaded a nasty cow that I just dreaded loading for months, because then, anyway, I had him cornered under us before the trailer, and he was coming after me, and I shouted at him, and the first words on my mouth, I said, "Thank you, Jesus. I knew who turned that cow around. It wasn't me, it was him." So that's the first thing I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And when you start seeing it, it's around us every day.
Yep. Well, I think don't you guys think also it's a case of not alienating yourself from God? I mean, are you open? Are you receptive? you know, you have a half an ear at least, and hopefully a whole ear, but you know what I'm trying to say, toward what the Heavenly Father's talking to you. Because daily basis, he talks to us in a still small voice a lot of times, you know. And, you know, do you find yourself dwelling on Scripture or on the things that are, you know, kingdom-minded or heavenly-minded during the day? We all need to have a little bit of reflection toward that. Like, yeah, you know, that might not be right. That might not be the way God would do that. You know, I mean, it's just, these are the things that draw us closer. And again, we're not perfect, and we're never going to get it all right because God said we're not. That's why Christ had to die for us. But, you know, or one of the reasons. But the point is that we need to be working at it. It work out your salvation. It's, you know, always abounding. There's an element of continuation and continual striving there to be in God's will and way. So, you know, it's going to be some work.
Amen. Well, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Closing thoughts, gentlemen?
Where's Richard?
He had a bad connection and couldn't get hooked up this morning.
Okay. No, it's interesting times. You know, that's just what Israel went and attacked Iran again. And, I mean, they're building this thing up because we're going to get drawn into it for sure. And then Russia's going to, you know, stand his ground. And then this is just building up to the final conflict as I see it, because it's just worldwide, you know.
Yes.
As I see it.
Yeah, that's the way that I see it too. And I don't, you know, I mean, so many things are happening, and you know, so much of the stuff that we know that our enemies like to give disinformation on it too. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's ramping up for World War III. You know, it's getting closer and closer all the time. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm always amazed that people can blame the current presidency or the current administration for all these problems. You know, when people can't walk down an aisle or even put a cohesive thought together, there's much bigger things at play here than that pride of man thing that's going on up there. So think about a little grander scale, you know, and realize where your power is, and pray to your Lord and get covered up. That's kind of my final thought.
Well, our biggest step off this God's platform is World War I, when we joined alliance with other nations and they dragged us off our soil. Our only reason for war is defense. And, you know, you take over wars, Iraq and stuff like that, he says that we shouldn't be off the on the ocean over 300 miles and just protect ourselves. And they got us globetrotting. Well, look at our whole Social Security, so all the stuff that we get from the government that just isn't there. And I see where they're going to, you know, I just look at YouTube for my little headlines. I don't really ever watch much, but they're going to, you know, back off on Social Security. Their God's going to fail them. You know, we're going to find our real God, or we're going to die.
Amen. Well, folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network this Saturday morning, and we'll be back, Lord willing, next Saturday. Have a good one.
The role of the Jews in the New World Order. Two of the most contentious issues facing the church today. In The Stolen Birthright and the Coming Destruction, Pastor Peter J. Peters explains the story of Jacob and Esau, telling who each one is today. The Stolen Birthright and the Coming Destruction also tells who is behind the New World Order and things like communism and the New Age movement, and what will happen to those trying to put the New World Order in place. Order The Stolen Birthright and the Coming Destruction by sending $3 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535. Or go to scripturesforamerica.org.
We have a free gift to give you of tremendous value, a gift that can change your life and open your eyes to the inside of world events and the present happenings in America. Listen on. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, heard worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on satellite, at the website www.scripturesforamerica.org, and on radio. This tremendous outreach is made possible by the prayers and financial support of the faithful. If this includes you, we would like to send you this special gift of a 90-minute DVD entitled Roots, From Abraham to America. It's a part trailblazing TV program with Pastor Peters and fearless vein historian and archaeologist E. Raymond Capps, bringing history and a key to the kingdom, truth, that is purposely and maliciously being kept from you and your children. Truths concerning the biblical roots of the white people who settled America. In the 1960s, the question asked by a troubled generation of Caucasian children was, "Who am I?" This DVD gives the answer, back with proofs, archaeological evidence, and maps you can get nowhere else. Get this free gift by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Ask for the Roots DVD.